Before I bring the message, may I just say one word of welcome home to our teenagers who returned from the Bill Rice Ranch yesterday. I told them to bring home the softball trophy or not come home at all, and they're back. We had too many people. We had to have two softball teams, and as I understand it, both of our teams made the finals and played each other for the championship. One team beat the other, I know. Congratulations to our boys. Congratulations to the basketball team that won the championship. Congratulations to the girls' trio that won the singing championship. Congratulations to our choir that won the choir championship. And congratulations to me who taught them all to sing. And it's interesting that the Lord should say to Job what he said in verse 31 of Job 38, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or lose the bands of Orion?" I want to speak this morning on Pleiades and Orion. Now, in order to understand exactly what was going on, you have to understand the condition of Job. Job had lost everything. By the way, he was the richest man in the East, and he was the best man in all the world. He was the best Christian in the entire world. Such a good Christian was he that God even said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's not a one like him in all the earth." The richest man in the East, and the best man and the best Christian in the entire world. There came to Job calamity after calamity. You recall how he lost his wealth. All of his sheep, donkeys, camels, and oxen were suddenly taken from him. Job had 10 children. Every child was taken in death. Job was a man of good health. Suddenly his health broke, and he had the awful disease of elephantiasis, leaving him scraping himself, sitting in the ash heap of the city dump. Job had a good wife, but she came and in the time of need failed him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" So here's Job, our hero, all his health gone, all of his wealth gone, all of his children gone, all of his household gone, his wife's loyalty gone, everything bad had happened. And the Lord comes and says to Job in this hour, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion?" And I'll be quite frank, I couldn't care less about Pleiades or Orion if I were in the condition in which Job had found himself. But there is a spiritual teaching that God is giving to Job here that I want to leave with you in the message this morning. Now, may I just say a word about Pleiades and Orion, and I'm not given to Greek mythology, but I did take a course in college. I majored in history and took a course in Greek history, and I've always been very, very fond of Greek mythology. Pleiades, actually, how would I describe? A constellation of stars in the heavens. Greek mythology says, however, actually there were seven daughters of Atlas. And the seven daughters of Atlas were pursued by the giant Orion. Orion was a great giant of a fellow. And they were pursued by the giant Orion, and they came to Zeus and appealed to the great god for protection. Well, Zeus changed them into a constellation of stars, and no longer were they daughters of Atlas, but the seven daughters were now seven stars in a constellation in the sky. However, at the destruction of the city of Troy, one of these daughters could not stand to see the destruction of the city of Troy and was given a leave of absence to leave the constellation, and that daughter has not been heard from since, and now there are only seven of the daughters shining as stars in the skies forever and ever. These other six who have been deserted by the one, by the way, the one, I think her brother was supposed to have been the king of Troy. I'm not sure about that. Memory fails me about it, but the remaining six stars have become not quite as bright as they were. They're a little darker than they used to be because they, too, were humiliated by the defeat of the city of Troy. Now, let's look to Orion. Orion, in Greek mythology, was a great giant. He was the son of Neptune. He was a mighty hunter, and out hunting one day, he noticed a beautiful girl, and her name was Diana. He wanted Diana and began to chase Diana, and finally the day came when Diana's brother Apollo decided he was going to do something about this giant chasing his sister Diana. So Apollo took Diana down one day beside the sea, and it so happened that Orion was swimming in the sea or wading in the water, and all that could be seen was his black cap. Well, said Apollo to Diana, you're pretty good with the bow and arrow. I bet you couldn't hit that speck of black out there in the sea. It happened to be the skull of the head of Orion. And so Orion was swimming, but she did not know. She loved him, but did not know that was his head that was floating or showing in the water. And so she took her bow and her arrow, and the archer that she was, she killed him. She shot him in the head as he was supposed to have been waiting. Don't cry about this. This is not a true story. But what happened was Orion suddenly was brought to shore by the coming of the tide, and he was left there on the shore. And the beautiful Diana came and saw that she had killed her pursuer, and in so doing she transformed him into a star and placed him in the heavens. And from that day to this, Orion has been chasing the six daughters, or the six of the Pleiades, and that's what it's all about. Now, aren't you glad you came this morning? You'd never have known that if you hadn't have come this morning. You've learned something. Now, to the Bible. What is that what God was telling Job? No, I doubt if the Lord was telling Job that. The truth is that the story of the Greek mythology was not even known in the days of Job. The honest truth is this. The Pleiades are a small, bright cluster of stars that make themselves more visible in the springtime. When the Pleiades become more visible, it is obvious to the one who knows the stars, this beautiful, bright cluster of stars, that springtime is coming soon. Orion is a constellation that follows autumn and announces the coming of winter. Now, what is the Lord saying to Job? The Lord is saying to Job, Job, there's nothing you can do about the stopping of spring or the coming of summer. There's nothing you can do about the preventing of the snows of winter or the chill of the winter winds or the deadness of autumn time. God is saying, Job, you take the spring, the summer, the autumn, and the winter. They're going to come. There's nothing you can do about them. Now, here's Job. He was in springtime. He had 10 healthy children. He had a faithful and loyal wife. He was the richest man of all the East. He was a picture of health. He was the best Christian in all the world. Springtime was there. But now that the deadening season of autumn had come, and the chill of winter is blasting upon Job's soul, as he finds himself in wintertime. Children dead, riches gone, health gone, wife forsaken him. Everything about the spring is gone, and now Job is complaining about the condition of wintertime. He is no longer enjoying the balmy breezes of the summer that had been beckoned and announced for the coming of the spring. But now Job is shivering and suffering in the chill and the awful hardness of winter. And Job complains. And the Lord says, Job, just take it. You can't stop he can't stay in springtime always, and you can't stop the autumn and winter from coming. The tough days are going to come. And God is saying, Job, and that's what our text is this morning, God is saying to Job, Job, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Can you capture Pleiades, springtime, and keep it all the time? No, you're going to have some wintertime too, or you won't enjoy the springtime. Or he says, can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you stop Orion from coming? Can you thwart the chill of winter? And can you stay in springtime always? The Lord is saying, Job, you've got to learn to take it now. You've got to know that the sun doesn't shine all day. The darkness comes some. You've got to know that the summertime does not last for the entire year. Wintertime must come. You've got to know that the flowers that bloom in the springtime must wilt in the fall. You've got to know the grass that is green in summer must become brown in fall. You've got to know the life of the springtime becomes deadness in fall. Now, Job, you've got to learn two or three things. You've got to learn first to enjoy the springtime, but know that the autumn and winter is going to come. But you've also got to learn that when the winter does come, spring is going to come back again. And so, Job, you take it now. Whether the sun is shining or the blackness of midnight, you take it. Job, whether it is the autumn or the chill of winter or the warmth of summer, you learn to take it. And that's what God is teaching to Job. Now, let me give you four lessons very quickly this morning, and then I'll let you go. In the first place, you will face all seasons. You, like Job, will face all seasons. Young people, you stood here this morning in the springtime of life, but autumn is going to come. And nothing is wrong, Matt. You have no problems. Oh, maybe the girlfriend you've got is gone with some ugly guy and you've lost her. That's not a problem. That's a blessing. But you've lost her and not any problem. You've never spent much time beside the casket in the funeral home. You know not the name of an undertaker. You know nothing about the chill of winter yet, but winter will come and autumn will come. You know, there'll always be springtime. Now, I say to those of you that are in wintertime, maybe the chill of winter is causing you to pull the wraps around your chest this morning and your breast, and you're lonesome, and the wintertime is here. Blessed be God, winter always precedes the spring. It won't be long till the warmth will come. It won't be long till life will come again. It won't be long till spring and the warmth of summer shall come. If you are in the summer, fall is coming. If you are in the winter, spring is coming. And that's what God is saying to Job. Now, you will face all the seasons. I've been pastor of this church now 11 years. 11 years ago last night, I guess, was one of the darkest nights of my life, if not the darkest night of my life. 11 years ago last night, I got in my car and drove around the city of Garland, Texas. I had pastored there for a number of years. I'd seen the church grow from 44 people to 4,000 people. I'd seen almost everyone that was there. I'd won them to Christ myself. I had knocked with these knuckles on the door of every home in the city of Garland, Texas, a city then of about 35,000 people, now almost 100,000. But I had knocked on every door with these knuckles. I had witnessed to everybody. Never a person had moved to our city in all those years I was pastor there, but what I went by to see them and welcome them to the city and try to win them to Christ. I did not travel a great deal then. I was not known as much then as I am now and did not travel across the country quite as much, though I traveled around Texas and the South and sometimes other parts of the country. But in the early days especially, I was home much of the time, and I had knocked on every door. They were my babies, and suddenly God said, "You've got to leave. You've got to go." And the chill of Orion came, and the warmth of Pleiades fled, and I found myself in the dark hour. It wasn't long till I came here, and the winter got colder and colder and colder and colder. And then it wasn't long till we saw a little of the ray of springtime, and the Pleiades were coming. Orion is leaving, and the Pleiades, but just as sure as I'm here, Orion is coming again sometime, and just as sure as you're here, Orion is coming again. You know, as pastor now for 11 years, many of us, we've been through Orion and Pleiades time and time again, haven't we? I was thinking last night as I was rehashing the message and thinking about what I'd prepared to preach this morning. I was thinking about some families in the church. There are many families here. We've seen victories together. We've stood at the wedding altar together. And in a few months, we stood in a cemetery and cried together. We've ordained your young people. We've prayed for your new babies. We've sent them off to college when they became teenagers. We've counseled with them. We've seen the sun shining in the springtime and felt the warmth of summer. But as pastor and people, we've also felt the deadness of the autumn and the chilling winds of wintertime. It's all a part of life. People have to learn to take it. It's all a part of life. We as First Baptist Church in these 11 years, we've seen this morning, felt the warmth of the dedication service. But we'll never forget when Orion came that cold, cold day spiritually when our building was burned over here and we watched it go up in smoke. We faced the warm days of the great revival last spring and the warm days of God's blessings upon our church. But we've also faced, as a church, we faced Orion as he came 10 years ago and the church went through some dark and tough seasons. I'm simply saying, God said, Job, you had it well. Springtime was a while ago. And Orion, wintertime is here now. But God said, Job, don't despair because the chill of winter is discomforting now. Springtime will come again. And don't get too comfortable in springtime because autumn and winter is going to come. And so it is. You will face all seasons. Second thought I'll leave with is this. In the springtime, prepare for the winter. In the springtime, prepare for the winter. You know winter's coming. I mean, right now, get you some snowshoes. Get you an overcoat. Boy, the first week I was in the city of Hammond, not first week, the first cold spell that came, I thought cold was 50. And I had a nice coat, cost me $10.95 at JCPenney Company in Texas. And I had a nice coat, and so I thought this will take me through the winter. And so I was coming across the the bridge out there on Columbia over the tri-state the expressway there, and I ran out of gas on the top of that place. And I not quite to the top and couldn't push the car up the hill to push it down the hill again where the Dell service station is. And I had to walk to the service station. It was 5 below 0. And I had that 1095 coat on from J.C. Penney Company. And before I got to that service station, I was crying. Crying nothing. I did what my tears wouldn't get to my cheek. They were icicles by the time they got to my cheek. And freezing to death. And so I got out. I said to the fellow there, I said, I'm about to die. I was just shaking just like that. He said, you're having a chill. I said, in a chill, nothing, having a freeze. And I got some gasoline, went back, put it in my car, drove right down here to my store, walked in, bought me a top coat. I mean, I didn't get ready. You've got to get ready for the wintertime. Put antifreeze in the car. Get you some warm clothes. Get you some long flannels, insulated underwear, electric underwear, something. But get ready. You folks that came here to teach school from down south, let me warn you now. Buy them today. We've worn our overcoats on the 4th of July and built snowmen on Labor Day. And get ready. And that's what the Lord is saying to Job. God is saying, Job, okay, look, in the springtime, you should have gotten ready for the Orion to come. You can't stay in Pleiades all the time. The springtime is wonderful. Everybody loves it. But, you know, I've been here now 11 years. I'd hate to live where there was no snow. I'd hate to say it, but I love the snow. I mean, the first day it's on the ground, I love it. And the rest of the year, I curse it. But you've got to prepare for wintertime. Last Saturday night when we gave Becky away, and Becky was married, I stood there and gave her away in marriage. People said to me, I didn't think you could do it that well. You didn't cry but one time during the entire ceremony. And I just thought you'd break down. And how did you make it? I learned something in Twin Falls, Idaho, a few years ago that helped me make it. I always said I couldn't marry one of my children. I always said I couldn't stand it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was with John Rice in a Bible conference in Boise, Idaho, and Twin Falls, Idaho. I had two conferences going at the same time. I'd preach one night in Boise and a doctor would fly me down to private plane, Twin Falls, the next night and back to Boise. We'd switch and one place and then switch. And so when the conference was over, we flew from Boise to Twin Falls, and Dr. Rice was there with his daughter, Grace. And Grace is his oldest daughter. And Dr. Rice, I saw him say goodbye to Grace and Alan, his son-in-law, and the children. And he got on the plane, and he wasn't crying. And I said, Dr. Rice, how could you do that? And he said, what? I said, how could you? You won't see her probably for a year or more. And you got on the plane. You weren't crying. I said, it would kill me if I'd had to do that. And Dr. Rice looked at me and taught me a lesson I'll never forget. He said, son, he said, 45 years ago, I picked that little bundle of flesh up in my hands. And he said, I realized then the day would come when I'd give her away. And he said, I started preparing myself that moment for the goodbye at the airport a while ago. I learned something. I learned that in the summertime, you've got to get ready for winter. I learned that when the warmth of the Pleiades is shining upon you, when the joy of spring and summer is yours, I've learned, you've got to realize, winter's going to, young people, Orion is on his way. There'll be days of loneliness and days of heartache and days of sorrow and days of travail and days of suffering and days when the cold, chill, and snow and ice of winter will make you wonder if Orion will ever return. But you check the skies, you'll find Orion is still chasing those six daughters. And you'll find that Orion is there and Orion will come. But you'll also find that the Pleiades will return again. Springtime will come again. So I say, prepare yourself. That's one reason why many parents come to the place in life where all is gone. They place all their eggs in one basket of some child or something that passes away, and before you know it, everything is gone. May I say to you, prepare yourself for the coming of winter. Job, you've got to learn to take it. Of course you could take it back yonder when everything was well. Your health was good and you were rich and your children were there at home and your wife was faithful. Now, Job, you could take it then. But, Job, you've got to learn to take Orion as well as the Pleiades. The third thing I'd say is this. In wintertime, look to the spring. You know how I take these winters up here? I look to the spring. And that ruins me because we never have a spring. But I look to the summertime. Look to the summertime. When you're snowed in and you want to get out and you're stuck in the snow and stuck in the ice, about to freeze to death and your ears have frostbite and you wonder if you'll ever live through it, stop and realize that spring is coming and summer is coming, and just as sure as there be a God, the warm, sunny days of summer are going to come. And God said to Job, Job, I know you don't have much now. I know your health is gone. I see you there in the ash heap of the city dump. I see that pot that you're scraping, you're using just with which to scrape your body. I see that. But Job, summer's going to come again. And one day summer did come. Job was restored to his health. His family, did he have 10 children? Had 10 children again. You know, I've always laughed about that. I think that's one of the funniest things. I think justice was needed out there. Job's wife got mad at him and said, curse God and die. And when Job got rich again, she had to have 10 kids. To me, that's funny. That's good enough for her. That's 90 months of eating watermelon for breakfast and cucumbers for lunch. 90 months. I'm glad about that. Summer came again. Job got twice as many camels, twice as many sheep, twice as many donkeys, twice as many oxen as he had before, and as many children. That used to worry me. Why didn't Job have 20 kids? He had twice as many asses and oxen and sheep and camel. Why didn't he get twice as many children? And one day it dawned on me that when camels die, they're dead. And when sheep die, they're dead. And oxen die, they're dead. When asses die, they're dead. But when children die, they yet live. And Job did have 20 children. He had 10 on earth and 10 in heaven. And once again, the Pleiades were back, and the spring was back, and the summer was back. And God said, Job, while you're there in Orion, don't forget, the Pleiades will come again. But the fourth thought I'll leave with you just briefly in closing, and that is, there is joy in winter. There is joy in winter. I don't know, but what I hadn't just as soon pop popcorn in summer is play ball in summer. There's the comfort of a cup of hot chocolate at wintertime beside the hearth. There's the popping of the corn. There's the games on the floor. There's the warmth of the home in wintertime. I don't know so much about winter that's so bad. And may I say this morning? I've lived a long time now for a priest, a long time for a fellow who's 43. I've almost been preaching 25 years. 23 years ago this month, I became pastor for the first time. And I've Dr. Oswald Smith, one of the great, wrote that song somebody sang this morning, Then Jesus Came. He wrote Jesus Saves, and now was pastor for 40 years of the great People's Church in Toronto. I was there the other night and preached at the People's Church and talked to Dr. Oswald Smith. Wrote many of our songs, many of the best songs in the book he wrote. And I talked to Dr. Smith, and Dr. Smith was telling about his past. Been preaching now for, 60 years, I guess. Now he's in his 80s. Strong as could be. We were chatting a while, and Dr. Oswald Smith said, Dr. Hiles, he said, would you like to know something? And I said, what? He said, I have preached over 12,000 sermons in these 60 years. I didn't tell him. But I wept as I said to myself, I've preached over 12,000 sermons in the last 12 years. In the last 12 years. I preached a lot. As I look back over my life, I can see, I can recall the sunshine. I can recall the Pleiades, when it warmed, and springtime, and flowers, and gaiety, and laughter, and fun, and joy, and frivolity, and victory, and success, and mountain peaks, and victories. I can recall all of that. But as I look back on my life, I also can see Orion. I can recall the chill of the wintry blast. I can recall the undiscomfort of the ice and snow. I can recall lonely hours and times when it seemed like that the Pleiades would never return. And I'm not so sure as I look back, but what the hot chocolate of Orion was not better for me than the sunshine of the Pleiades. So wherever you are this morning, if you're in the Pleiades, springtime, flowers, laughter, gaiety, joy, victory, mountain peaks and sunshine and cloudless days, wherever you are, if that's where you are, Start gathering for the Orion. Winter's coming. Get your spiritual coat. Prepare yourself. Don't be knocked off by the coming of the chilly blast of Orion. Maybe this morning you're in Orion. Maybe there's no victory for you but defeat. No warmth for you but cold. No joy for you but sadness. No laughter for you but tears. Maybe that's your life, Lot, this morning. May I encourage your heart. Orion has never come without the Pleiades being around the corner. But I say this, one sentence or two, and then we sing. There's coming a place where there'll be no Orion, just Pleiades. Oh, they tell me of a land far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a land far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. There's a place where we're going, we're saved, where there are no clouds but only sunshine. No chilly blast but only spring warmth. No dying flowers, only blossoming blooms. There's coming a place where we'll never grow old and never say goodbye to loved ones and never feel the pain of a heart attack and never feel the eating away of a cancer or feel the tear on the cheek of a sad goodbye or a farewell, where shoulders shall never stoop and brows shall never furrow and faces shall never wrinkle. Oh, they tell me of a land far away. I hope this morning that you're prepared for death. I hope that heaven is yours because you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord can come to Job and say, Job, you can't stop the passing of the Pleiades nor the coming of Orion. But whether you're in the Pleiades with the sun shining or Orion with the chilly blast of winter, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let us pray together, please. May God's blessings rest this morning upon those of you who are living in Orion, the deadness of fall and the cold of winter. May God's provisions be yours for those who are living in the Pleiades, the warmth and the sunlight of summer and spring. But may each of us know in his own heart that regardless of whether the snow is falling today on our souls or the sun is shining, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Then every season shall be the Pleiades, and never shall Orion come to his cycle. If this morning you're not prepared for heaven, if you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you could know in your heart you're going to heaven when you die. If there are those this morning, and certainly there are, who've never taken time to receive the Savior, you've never paused to say, I do here and now become a Christian. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior and the Lord of my life. Right where you are. Right where you are, why don't you say now silently to God, dear God, today I become a Christian. Today I receive Christ as my Savior. This is the moment when I say yes to him. I want you, if you're willing this morning, to become a Christian by faith in Christ. I'm going to ask you when we stand and sing to come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and give me your hand if you'll give Christ your heart. And then this morning, if you're here, you have been saved but have not been baptized, then you come. If you have been baptized but have not joined the church, you come. If you need to transfer a membership, you come. By all means, leave your seat, come toward the aisle, down to the front, say yes to church membership, or yes to baptism, or yes to the Savior. Father, bless the invitation. We commit it to thee and pray thy blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing the first stanza of Just As I Am Without One Plea. We'll ask that no one leave while we're singing, unless it's for an emergency. And the choir will sing, if you need to receive the Savior, come and tell me about it. If you have received him and have not yet been baptized, you come and do that this morning. If you want to join a Bible preaching church, then we invite you to come if you're saved and baptized. The choir will sing, would you come on the first stanza?